They're producer killers. Think of what they've done in the last 16 or so months. We talk about players that are coach killers, players who get executives fired. What is the bench other than a producer graveyard? If you go work with them, you're destined to be dismissed or force yourself out the door.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
You get yourself a podcast or your own radio show, and then you could do what I'm doing to you, which is dismissing you from the show.
It's John and Lance.
I'm not sure which end Dell is going to join.
You know what I miss more than anything? The Jason Barrett days when Dell couldn't talk on the show. Those were the greatest days ever. Greatest producer, executive producer we ever had here.
Was that his title?
Wasn't he?
I thought he was like consultant / program director.
Program director. Yeah.
By the way,
he was the smartest. He shut you up.
Did you enjoy the meetings?
They were great. Yeah, the meetings were great.
John's not a big meeting guy.
No. I was on the golf course.
Say I'm missing him, Bob.
All right. There's some stuff we missed this weekend.
Hold on. Dell's back. This is a permanent thing. There's no way Dell's gone for a third or fourth time.
Well, okay. maybe by my own accord this time.
Yeah.
But seriously, so you would every once in a while, we knew you were listening to the show because if we said something that you thought was really dumb or was just blatantly inaccurate, mm-hmm. you would text us. How frustrating was it for you to sit at your house and listen to a show that you thought had dumb things being said by John or inaccurate things being said by John? How frustrating was that for you?
By John? It was usually aimed at you.
What did you think about that, Dell? Was it frustrating for you to sit there like, how am I listening to this?
It wasn't frustrating. It was something where I thought to myself, these guys haven't grown a bit. I mean, it's been how many years and they're still saying the dumbest thing they've ever said. You think as you begin to mature into whatever you're maturing into, you start to grow, you start to develop different concepts and thoughts about things. But no, it's the same stuff. John says dumb stuff, talks a lot about golf, and Lance will, you know, be sick or ill or hurt and ramble and then take the show off a path that it was supposed to be on, but it's no longer on that path. It was interesting listening to it from home and thinking to myself, oh, I can just turn this off. I don't have to sit through it like I do now.
That's one perspective.
So when you got frustrated, though, you would text the show and say, yeah, I would say, dummies.
Hey, stupid. This is what you should have said. Or I would just listen to something else. I go to Dan Lebatard or something.
In other words, there were a lot more instances, but you just turned it off.
Yeah, I would go, you know what? Let me hear Dan Lebatard. He might say something stupid, but I don't have an in, so I can't even text them. So there's no reason for me to get frustrated. So I'll just listen to them or something.
Right.
But, you know, I listen. You heard something dumb, then turn the channel.
Denny Hamlin is catching it a little bit. Apparently, he won this race at Pocono.
Yeah.
And he's won it multiple times. But on the restart, he forced Kyle Larson into the wall. Is it okay that he forced Kyle Larson into the wall because Kyle Larson is a racist? Is that okay then? Is that fine?
NASCAR has decided he's not racist enough because they're promoting him. Like, they had some big thing last year, and TBS had Kyle Larson as one of the people they were promoting. He's not racist enough to stop racing, so I don't think he's racist enough that you can run him into a wall.
A simulator?
Yes.
Yeah.
During COVID, right?
Right. Man, he dropped an N-bomb, remember?
Yeah, I thought that was him.
Yeah, that's him. So, is it okay, though, that he ran him into the wall? I guess it's okay. No one knows because no one watched it. It was racing.
Yes, people watch racing.
Somebody does, apparently. Bleacher Report put out its best and worst contracts given out in the NBA this offseason. What do you think finished worst?
Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks. You won.
Yeah.
Worst contract.
It's not Van Vliet. It's going to be Dylan Brooks because of, I think, length of contract is what really gets people aggravated. Plus, the Rockets have, you know, Tari Eason already there. They ended up drafting Cam Whitmore, which happened after, so it doesn't matter. But, Whitmore's drafted after free agency, right?
Yeah, this was contracts. This was the worst contract.
The draft is before free agency.
Why bring, you know, some people said, why bring Dylan Brooks in? You've already got players at the position.
Well, here's a stat that they put out. The primary problem with Brooks is that he's a defensive specialist who thinks he's an offensive specialist. Of the 74 NBA players who attempted at least 13 shots or more per game last season, Brooks' true shooting mark of 49.4% ranked dead last. So he's the worst volume shooter in the NBA. And they said, you know, He averaged 14.3 points, 3.3 rebounds, and 2.6 assists, shooting 39% from the field. Why would you bring in a guy, a Rockets team that needs to create shop opportunities for its younger group? They're going to have a guy who's making 20 plus million a year in his 30s who doesn't make shots.
Well, how about
this is a little harsh. But now the numbers don't lie. He's not a good shooter, and he's a defensive guy. But I think that's why he was brought in, is because he is going to change an attitude defensively here.
But did he get is that a good contract though?
Is that a good contract?
Yeah,
we'll find out over the next 3 years or so.
Well, their question is, you know, I think it is up for debate because Fred VanVleet's making $48 million. That guy has shot over 40%. From the field, I think once in his career. Like, he is a notoriously atrocious shooter when it's not from behind the three-point mark, and even behind the three-point mark he wasn't very good last year. Not to carry this much money on the books. And then you look at Dylan Brooks and exactly what you said. I mean, you now have a couple of guys who really struggle to make shots on a regular basis, which is a concern.
Yeah.
And I understand one of them, you just want to shoot well from three. But he better shoot well from three, because if you chase Fred VanVleet off the 3-point line, his field goal percentage has got to be one of the worst in all of basketball.
Well, there are going to be 3-point opportunities for him, and that's why I think Cam Whitmore has got a chance to play a bit much bigger role than Amen, because Amen is going to be behind Fred VanVleet, and Cam Whitmore has a chance to be a better shooter if he practices it and starts making some shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jabari's going to have to take more threes. Dylan Brooks is not. Alpi says he's taking more threes, so we'll find out.
Run it by the coach yet?
Pardon me?
Has he run it by the coach?
I don't know if he's run it by the coach.
Okay. Well, I mean, if Alpi says he's shooting more, I guess I'll just have to. I feel like, do they not know that Silas isn't there anymore? I'm definitely shooting more threes this year. Okay, but y'all know Steven Silas isn't there, right?
Did you hear? I don't know if you heard,
but Udoka may not just let you do what you want to this year. You may not get as long on the playground.
Brian McTaggart put out his 5 best trades in Astros history.
Well, you know why? Because it's summer.
Because it's summer and we have to have a list. So what did you see this?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, what do you think are the 5 best trades in order?
I'm going to go Yordan 1.
Okay, you'd be wrong.
Okay, Bagwell for Anderson.
Bagwell's 1.
Okay, 2. Yordan for, what's his name?
You would be wrong.
Yordan's not 2?
Yordan is not 2. He's 3.
Okay, number 2 would be, wouldn't be Randy Johnson. Oh, it'd be Verlander, I bet.
Verlander.
Yeah.
Verlander's number 2. Yordan is number 3. Mike Scott for Danny Heap is 4, and your favorite, Garrett Cole.
Yeah, that was a good one. I mean, short period of time, that was a really good deal for us.
Yeah. Well, we didn't win anything. Well,
but we should have because of Garrett Cole.
Yeah, because of Garrett Cole. Should have won it, but AJ Hinch screwed that pooch.
How crazy was that Garrett Cole didn't win the Cy Young that year?
I know, right?
I mean, that's how good the Astros were. They had 2 guys who are 1-2 and Cy Young.
That was the best. I mean, man, losing that to the Nationals is just unbelievable.
Think about that. That team had, now it had
not winning one home game in the World Series.
How about this? That team had Swaggy Bregg, rookie Yordan. It had Carlos Correa. It had, was George there?
George was gone after 18.
Gone. Yeah. So you had Carlos Correa. You had Yuli in his prime, basically Astros prime.
Altuve was great.
Altuve. Think about that. This team is nowhere. Now you didn't have Tucker on. No, you didn't have Tucker. So, like, you think about where you are now, and your top two pitchers are Fromber and Javier France.
Not sure that's the case.
Yeah, you've got – oh, by the way, Michael Brantley was on that team in 19 too.
Yeah.
This team has bench coach Michael Brantley, bench coach Jose Altuve, Sugarland space cowboy Yordan Alvarez. It's got Abreu playing the role of Yuli. It's got Bregman, who is far less swaggy than he once was. I think you still had Maldonado was a 19 guy too, if I remember correctly. So you don't have to worry about that. Same guy, lower batting average.
Worse hitter. Worse than he was then, which is almost impossible.
You just don't have Will Harris. So when you look at this year's team and that, you think, ooh, this team isn't even as remotely as close.
Right. Well, like
they're not even in the same ballpark.
So was last year's team the best team? Or 17 or 19?
I think 17 was, but it wasn't as deep at pitcher and your bullpen was.
No, last year's team was the best, period.
19 may have been your best team.
That was your best team last year. That bullpen,
you think
that rotation, Justin Verlander followed by Fromber, followed by Javier at his peak.
Yeah,
that's not even close. Although 19 might have been, 19 might be your second best team and 17 your third.
I might go 19 over last year, and I'll tell you why. The offense was better in 19. The offense was better, and you had your two starters, Verlander and Fromber, as great as they were a step below Verlander and Cole, if that's possible. Now, the big difference is you didn't have the same kind of closer that you had, you know, in the bullpen last year. The bullpen didn't hold up.
That was, yeah. This bullpen was the best ever, so I don't know how you're going to – yeah.
Still is.
Yeah. So, I mean, no, not now. It sucks now.
Well, just a little bit of a slump.
Well, yeah. Well, that's a pretty – it's getting extended now.
I don't know. You know, 19 Astros feel like 98 Astros, where you knew that, man, this team – woo.
Right.
Nastier
19 offense. Astros might be the best team that didn't win it.
Yeah. I mean, you have two hammers, and look at all the talent. You just, Yordan at that time just really was a mess in the World Series, yeah. If I remember correctly. Just was just a complete.
Well, he was a beast against the Yankees.
By the way, speaking of beast rookies, Eli De La Cruz, this guy is a monster. Did you see last week on Friday, his cutoff throw?
Yes.
The fastest in StatCast history at almost 100 miles an hour.
Well, his throw from short was over 100 miles an hour to first.
When?
Yeah, he threw it over 100 miles an hour to first base on a play in the hole. He was,
When? Because that must happen over the weekend.
No, it was a week or so ago.
No, 99. They said the fastest, he's got the fastest time in history at 99 point something. He hasn't hit 100 yet. That was at least as of Friday morning. I don't know when I was laying here doing the show damn near death heroically. But so, I mean, this guy hits at 450. We got another freak show. Just another freak show's here.
Yep.
Can hit it 450, can throw it 100 miles an hour.
I could have swore last week. Maybe it was 90-something. Maybe it was 90-something.
Well, he hit over three straight games.
Oh, it was 99.1, his throw from short to first.
Yeah. And then he went even higher than that on the cutoff from short infield. He just rocketed one home and threw somebody out by about seven steps. But this guy has monster power, is he's just different looking for a power hitting corner field or third baseman, isn't he?
He's a shortstop.
He's playing third.
He's playing short.
Well, just the other day, he was at third.
No, that cutoff throw was from short.
He ranged out of – he was literally out of the – he threw from foul territory. And you know, he played some third last week.
Well, this throw from short, he dropped the ball, picked it up, and threw it 99 over to first. He's unbelievable. He's fun. 916 ESPN 97 for Keith. What you learned last weekend is coming up next. What you learned this weekend in one sentence is coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, I am talking about Robin and the great people over at Houston Powder Coaters. Houston Powder Coaters is the place to go. I don't know what it is that you... she had talked about... How about sewing stands? How about boat parts? How about anything that rusts out that you need to save and powder coat it so that it looks new, it's sturdier, it will last, okay? They are going to primp and prep, and they are going to make sure that whatever it is that you got them looks like it's new and acts like it's new again, as opposed to old rusty patio furniture which could fall apart and is falling apart. They will fix. They will fix it. They will fix the hardware, the straps, the slings, repair, car parts, wheels, lift kits, bumpers, whatever it is that you have that's rusting out that you want to keep, okay? It's got sentimental value, or it's but it's got value, period, because it's older. Whatever the case may be, you want it to look new again. You want it to act new again. That's Houston Powder Coaters. And it doesn't matter where you are, free pickup and delivery, all the way to Galveston, Willis, Fulshear, Baytown, Crosby, Mount Bellevue, all over. It doesn't matter. Free pickup and delivery. They work with businesses as well. They will come to your business. They couldn't bring, from the aquarium, they couldn't bring a Ferris wheel back to, they couldn't do it. So they worked on it right there. Or they'll work on your fence at your business, whatever it is that's rusting out or that you need powder coated. HoustonPowderCoaters.com, 281-676-3888. Tell Robin you heard it right here.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Offensive Masterminds, running an outside zone on your intelligence, John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Time for a giveaway. So caller 7 at 925 to 713-780-3776 wins 4 tickets to the granddaddy of all hunting shows on August 4th through the 6th at NRG Center. Scope out hunting seminars, all of the latest hunting equipment on hand, ATVs, and for the little hunters, games, snakes, live alligators, and more. Fun for the entire family at the original Texas hunting show, the 47th annual Hunters Extravaganza. At 925. Don't call now. For details, go to huntersextravaganza.com. Nothing's changed. Tell them the time. They still call early. Caller 7 at 925, sir.
If you don't tell, nobody listens to you, okay?
Well, then you don't get no prize.
Well, you don't get a no hunting, okay? You don't get a no hunting if you don't listen to Dell. Let's get Keith in here now so we can get him off the phone lines because everybody wants to get in on this hunting thing or whatever you said. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Hope RJ's doing well. Dell is definitely tough. No interest in the hunting tickets at all. Absolutely none. What did I learn this weekend? Coming in late. Trivia for you guys. Brian Harman joins 4 other lefty golfers to win a major. John, can you name the other 4 lefty golfers?
Mike Weir.
Thank you very much, guys.
Phil Mickelson. I want to say Bob Charles, Phil Mickelson. Oh, and Bubba Watson. I think Bob Charles would be the 4th one. Bubba, Mike Weir, Phil, they all won the Masters.
You got it.
5th is Bob Charles?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, okay. And Brian Harman makes 5.
You say how I just ended that, Dell? Just tell him.
Why do you think he actually looked up anything? When he goes, yeah, you got it. He doesn't know. He just wants you to stop.
You're both so stupid.
I'm not the one who cut you off, but you know what he did. Yep, got that. You could have said anything.
I've got it right here. I've got my computer here in front of me.
Yeah, sure.
I'm literally doing the show off the phone on my Comrex field tab, John.
Lefties to win a major.
See, now he's going to look them all up.
Left-handed golfers.
Way to go, Dell. I told him Bob Charles.
Bob Charles, Mike Weir, Phil Mickelson, and Bubba Watson.
Thank you. I know.
Good night.
I was doing some research on that. Like, who all were the lefties that won last night? And I'm like, yep,
Man, I don't believe the Bob Charles thing. I think he's an NPC.
He is now not an NPC.
He didn't stand around and watch everybody golf. He golfed.
Nah, he was just over there looking at stuff.
So did you get in on the Austin Eckler Zoom that he had this weekend?
No, I didn't get invited to it, but they said
you're not a running back in the NFL. You're a goalie.
Well,
apparently you're a goalie.
No, I could have stopped Messi's kick.
Okay.
I mean, who didn't know where that was going? It was one place. You could see, by the way, his angle on his foot. But still.
Goalkeeper coach, yeah. Lance Erline.
We'll get back. It's the same thing as catching a rebound off a rim. You got to see where the ball's headed, and you have to have a feel for it.
I know. Mm-hmm. You get the rebound before.
And your lightning quick reflexes. Yeah, I know.
You'd beat out Bam Adebayo for a rebound. We understand.
A lot of it is just all you got to do is put a hip on hip, and you can box him out. It's a leverage game. You get lower.
Yeah.
You know
what about if your leverage is you can't move?
You have no.
It's not accurate, but secondly,
I will say this: your hips are bigger than Bam Adebayo's.
Okay. Yes, he's a spindly little fella.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about.
So Austin Eckler called all running backs. Come on in. We want to talk about what's going on with the running backs in the NFL.
Yeah, they had a running back emergency meeting because this is now a thing. It started with Von Miller doing a defensive line symposium, and then Duke Mannyweather created, I think, the biggest and best with the O-line masterminds with, he created with Lane Johnson and guys like that. So the O-line in Dallas is huge. And then tight ends now have one. And so the running backs, they decided, hey, let's get together as a unit and let's get on the Zoom call. And so they did, and nothing got done. Nothing was finalized because there's nothing they can do.
And I
talked to an assistant GM about this. I said, what can running backs do? He said, running backs can't do a thing. He said, they can go to their union. He said, but you have to remember, Lance, if the union starts fighting for them hard, they understand they're taking money. Depending on what they do, they're going to take money out of somebody else's pocket.
Okay, so the point was brought up by Mike Tannenbaum this morning on the show before ours. He said Danny Dimes needs to walk into that front office and say, I threw 70 times to Saquon Barkley last year. Take him out of our backfield, and we are not going to be any good. I'm not going to be as good. You take money away from me and give it to Saquon. I don't know that that will happen, but I think he's dead on. They're not going to be nearly as good. I don't know there's differing reports on what Saquon is asking for. But Nick Chubb brought up a great point. He says, right now, there's really nothing we can do. We're kind of handcuffed with the situation. We're the only position that our production hurts us the most. If we go out there and run for 2,000 yards with so many carries, the next year, they're going to say, you're probably worn down. And that's true. Because, tread is off your tire. You're not as good. And listen, Derrick Henry is the only guy who, after a 2,000-yard year, is better the next year. Or is as good. Because usually 2,000-yard rushers or in that neighborhood fall apart afterwards.
Yeah. Adrian Peterson didn't, but I'm convinced he's not an actual human. Like, he's physically different, Derrick Henry. So basically, you have to be some of the most different DNA-structured humans that have ever existed to be able to exceed that. He's right. Think about this. You know, one of the criticisms I have of Steve Sarkisian is that guy, to me, single-handedly cost them a loss. At least, I think, two losses. One, by not just completely leaning on Bijan Robinson instead of letting Quinn Ewers throw the ball at all against Oklahoma State. You remember that game, John. And then the other one was Texas Tech, where they had the lead, and Tech came back and beat them. And it's because Texas didn't give the ball to Bijan enough. And yet, when the draft rolls around, you look at Bijan and you say, you know, for being this talented a back, he didn't have the tires ripped off of his wheels, you know, with usage. And it is true. The first thing I do, I look at Damian Pierce like, man, Damian Pierce is low usage. When I'm writing up draft prospects, I'm looking at touches. I'm absolutely looking at how many carries you had in college. And I have to mention that, you know, has some tread off the tires. You have to mention that when they played 3 years and they've had over 200 carries a year, that's a big deal. And so, you know, that's what Kenneth Walker was chomping up, huge carry totals at Michigan State. Ron Dane had enormous rush, you know, stuff. And that used to be the way you look at it, is running back, you just use them. And now when you go into the pros, you got to have consideration. Okay, how much was this guy used? And then when you get in the pros, everything he said is right. If you run a bunch of time, if you are, and when are you at your best as a running back? When you're youngest, you still have more speed, and speed is important to outrun defenses. So running backs are screwed because they are at their best when they're very young, over that 3 to 4 to 5 year period. Then you, after that, you begin to slow down. Look at Ezekiel Elliott, how good he was in his first 4 years. This is not rocket science. They're at their best. A quarterback is at his worst in his first 3 years. He's much better further down the road. Running back, very few running backs in the history of the league have been better in year 6 or 7 than they were in 1 and 2, and even 3. Very few ever. So how do you fix that, John? Well, do you fix it or just say that's just the position? What do you want us to do? That's, I'm sorry, running backs, it's just the position.
Sorry, that's it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? We're at our worst now. Here was the batting order in 2019. George Springer, followed by Jose Altuve, Michael Brantley, Alex Bregman, Yordan Alvarez, Yuli, Carlos Correa, Kyle Tucker. Carlos Correa batted 7th.
Oh, that's
Kyle
right.
Tucker 8th, and Martin Maldonado 9th.
So we did still have Tucker. And
Tucker was, yeah, Tucker was a rookie.
Tucker
there,
and Georgie.
And George. Or maybe Tucker was in his.
Tucker would have been a rookie.
A rookie, yeah. 19, 20, 21.
Though.
Yeah. 19, 20, 21, 22. Yes, he was a rookie.
What did Tucker hit?
His rookie year? I don't know.
Okay. Holy crap. Look at that lineup. Look at that lineup.
That's unbelievable. That's the best lineup ever for his team. Ever. It doesn't get any better.
Well, on paper, it's way better, but Kyle Tucker was not a big hammer at that point. And, you know, I mean, 17, historically, from a hitting standpoint, was the best the Astros.
Carlos batted 7th, okay?
Right. And he deserved to.
And Michael Brantley was good, really good then. I mean, that is – Yordan dominated the Yankees in the playoffs, but then fell apart against the Braves – or against the Nationals.
And
the Braves, yeah. He fell apart against both of them. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776. I'm talking about dipping right now. I'm talking about you, how gross you are. Listen, this is at you, Tim, okay? This is aimed at you. My boy, Tim, says I turn it off every time because he says how gross all his friends are. Yeah, gross. It's gross. So stop spitting all over yourself. Stop dipping. Stop spitting. Stop. Hey, Chad, stop. Okay, stop with the spitting. All right, let's go. Let's clean it up. And you know how you clean it up? With Artisan Grain. Canstead and Dew Blend. Hemp in a pouch made of hemp. Okay, it's not tobacco, but it could taste like tobacco. You want tobacco flavor? You can get that. But you want that sensation between your cheek and gum? You got that. Okay, but the tobacco, wean yourself. Get off of it. But do it with mint. Do it with straight, fired. Whatever it is, whatever flavor, wintergreen, dark fired, whatever it is that you like, they've got it. Okay. Citrus, berry, cinnamon, all of them, all the different flavors. It's right now at 975dip.com. And you can pick it up as well at CBD American Shaman because select stores are carrying it as well because it's got CBD in it. Not only do you not spit, you swallow it and you feel better because it's got the CBD in it. So not only you're not hurting yourself, you're feeling better. All at 975dip.com or at select CBD American Shaman stores.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your daily distraction from the horrific reality of your very existence. Man, I didn't know it was that bad. But hey, it's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So every week we do a little pool of you have to guess the exact number of runs without looking it up, for the Astros during the week. They played six games, two in Colorado and four against the A's. Do you know how many runs they scored last week, Lance?
In the game or just the Astros runs?
Just the Astros runs.
I'll try to just come off the top of my head so I don't start because I'm thinking.
Six games against in Colorado, which is a run play scoring machine, and against the worst team in baseball, the A's. How many runs do you think they scored?
We'll go 26.
20. Just over three runs a game.
Ooh.
Yeah. Three and a third runs a game.
He had
six games against those teams, and they scored three runs a game.
And you were never shut out in any of the games.
No, you scored. Well, you did score one on Saturday. Congratulations. It's almost impossible for a good baseball team, which the Astros are, to only score 20 runs in those two series. Yet somehow they managed it.
Do you know? I know somebody who bet the Astros bit. This guy said, "There's no way the Astros lose to the A's." And I said, "No, I don't think." I just texted back, "Nah, there's no way they lose today." And I said, "What's the number?" And he said, "Like -250." Like, whew. Just hate that for the Astros, but you feel like it's going to win. And he said, "Well, I could bet -1.5 and get it at -130. And I said, "That's the play."
Mm-hmm.
The Astros will definitely win by more than one. Pena picked off, well, maybe a missed hit and run. I don't know why he didn't just finish running to second. Gets in a rundown, thrown out between first and second for the second out. The very next pitch, Dubon goes yard.
Home run.
Would have been a two-run homer and ends up being a solo home run. All I could think of was, yeah.
How do you? And listen, until yesterday, all of the runs in the first three games were provided by Bregman or Kyle Tucker, and that's
just
it.
A bunch of home runs. By the way, we didn't even mention that Kyle Tucker had three home runs in a single game.
Yeah, that was nice. Yeah. He's something. And here you are talking about trading him, okay?
Somebody else goes, "He heard you. Now what?" I was like, now he has even more value.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Stop. They're not trading him. But Dylan Cease looked pretty good.
All right, so John Dasput made a good point to me. Sometimes he'll just randomly call and talk about sports because he listens to us every day. What about this? So we know that Shohei Ohtani is the big prize, right, at the trade deadline, if it happens. But Shohei Ohtani's contract is going to be $600 million. And he's limited on where he will go, possibly. We think it's just going to be either New York or Los Angeles, and a lot of people think it's going to end up being Dodgers. And then, of course, you know, what do you give up for Ohtani? So you're going to have to give a monster contract, monster prospect package, and there's only certain teams that can get in the mix. Can you imagine? Kyle Tucker, in some ways, might be more valuable than Ohtani to a team because his contract will be less. More teams mm-hmm. could potentially be in the mix. And, you know, well, but however, I think on the positive side, the Astros could really look. I don't want Kyle Tucker to leave. I mean, I think Kyle Tucker is amazing. Kyle Tucker is right now the best player on the Houston Astros, better than Yordan, better than anybody.
Yeah.
The problem is the Astros have shown no inclination to do what it takes to sign Kyle Tucker. I'm trying to be a pragmatist and a realist here. If that's going to be the case, the way that you keep this, the Astros farm system has done a nice job of plugging pieces into JP France. That's fantastic. Chaz McCormick. But we haven't seen a guy like Kyle Tucker's the last guy. Well, potentially Jeremy Pena. I mean, his last year was incredible in the playoffs. So Pena does have a chance to be that. But what makes you special is that you had so many good young core players.
You've seen Jeremy Pena lately?
It's not good lately, I don't want to.
Wait,
I don't want to write him
over the last 2 months. He's been bad.
It's been terrible. He's not even hitting the ball with great contact. But this is my thing, John. If you dealt a player like Kyle Tucker, the players you get back in exchange for Kyle Tucker could potentially be the next Kyle Tuckers and the next George Springers.
You don't sell off a Kyle Tucker when you're in a playoff race.
No, I'm not saying why you're in a playoff race, but you know, if you considered it, one thing we know is that the Astros waited too long on Berkman and Roy Oswalt. They waited, Drayton waited too long to move those guys when their time was past, their time was done. Not those players, but the Astros' opportunities had already run up. And instead of replenishing a minor league system, it led to being late with that, led to subpar trades and a run of horrific Houston Astros baseball that then was rebuilt through the minor league system. Well, one of the things that the Astros have never done is moved a player who is for sure going to leave from a contract standpoint and replenish a system. I know it's not sexy, it's not fun, but boy, do you like it when Ellie De La Cruz comes up. You know, boy, do you like it when your own, you know, Yordan Alvarez comes up. Boy, do you like it a lot.
Yeah, none of that's happening. So
I know it's not happening, but it's kind of ridiculous that
they're buyers, not sellers. They're not going to sell Kyle Tucker.
I'm just telling you, it's kind of ridiculous for you not to have conversations about that in the building, considering the fact that he's like a car that you trade in and you get even more value, potentially more value than, well, I mean, enormous value beyond what you're going to get if he just walks. But I understand that no one wants to do that. But teams who want to expand and extend their reach of dominance, it's something that should be in consideration. Now, when? Well, the longer you wait, the more the value goes down. Yeah. We know that. Yeah. And this year, yes, you are in the mix, and Kyle Tucker is just playing great. But how he plays is irrelevant to the philosophy of how you want to keep a window open. Because honestly, John, I don't see – I mean, look at the lineups. We just talked about the 19 lineup and this lineup. Even when Altuve's – even when everyone's healthy – Yordan, yes, is a monster. Kyle Tucker's a much better Kyle Tucker. But Bregman is, you know, Bregman's not 19 Bregman anymore.
No.
He had his moments last year, and Dubon had a nice little run. It was a nice little story. He ain't George Springer. Michael Brantley's not actually walking through those doors again. This is not the same lineup. And with everyone's healthy, it's not the same.
Well, how about this lineup when everybody's healthy? Okay, I'm just going to throw I'm starting to get on board with the Chaz McCormick leadoff. Chaz McCormick leading off. He walks. He's got a good eye at the plate.
His eye is much better. Yeah, it's much better than it was.
Yeah. Altuve second. Bregman third. Yordan fourth. Or Yordan third. Bregman fourth. Tucker. Jose Abreu, Yiner Diaz. Now, this lineup is starting to look pretty damn good with Jeremy Pena batting eighth and Dubon ninth, or Dubon eighth and Jeremy Pena ninth. I'm in on that.
I mean, it truly is borderline miraculous that Chaz McCormick has become this kind of hitter.
He is really, really.
I mean,
last month his OPS is over 1,000.
He's 28 years old too, so it's not like he's a young guy. But his OPS, right? His on base percentage is at .366. I mean, that's not bad.
No,
it's, you know, you'd like it around 400 is a really good on base percentage, but that's, you know, .366 for a guy with a .510 slugging percentage. That's not bad.
No, he's right there at 900 OPS. We'll take it. We'll take it. All right, and you know what? I'm on board with that because you got run producers. I don't know how you back Kyle Tucker fifth, but he's got to be fifth, I guess. And Bregman should be dropped in the order if you want to know the truth.
Yes,
but that's not happening either. You've never seen Dusty bat Bregman less than fourth. Fourth in the line.
Yeah, right. By the way, so just to clean up something, so Ellie De La Cruz is playing third and short. He's got 25 starts at third, 15 at short. My guess is he'll be like Alex Rodriguez, the big, you know, he's going to keep getting bigger and a power hitter that'll play eventually. But to that point, the reason I brought that up is I was thinking about Bregman. You know, Bregman is a guy who he still is a run producer. He still is a run producer. He still has his moment. When men are in scoring position, Bregman still comes through in scoring position.
Absolutely.
Runners in scoring position for Bregman, go look at the numbers this year. And I think you're going to be surprised.
No. He absolutely, Bregman comes through. He's just not – he just has not had any consistency this season, none. All right. Why don't you talk about Craig DeSurf, and we'll do News of the Weird. And it's weird this week.
So, Craig DeSurf. So, what can you expect when you're shopping for a new vehicle from from Craig DeSerf at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Here's what you can expect. You can expect a carbine experience that is peaceful, that's calm. It's not chaotic with, you know, sales stuff. Have you been helped? Can I help you? What are you looking for today? What are you doing? What can I do for you? What do we have to do to get you into this car? What's the drop dead price for you? All that stuff where you're like, oh man, I was hoping to just kind of enjoy myself out here. If you were just out to browse, if you head out to Angleton and you just want to browse and stop and get some good barbecue coming back into Houston over at Ronnie's place, that's great. That's great. They're totally about it, and they understand that because not everyone is ready to buy. But if you are ready to buy or if you change your mind when you're there, they're going to answer all your questions that you have for you. They'll find you all the features you're looking for with your vehicle. They'll find you the colors, the interior. They're going to let you know about all the you know, the prices that they have in terms of what the dealer cash back, dealer incentives, and APR financing. But here's the thing I love. Better cash back on trade-in values and unbelievable service. The best in the business. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. They are right there in Angleton, and they are ready to take care of you. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. To shop online, go to LanceZCars.com.
Time now for news of the weird with John and Lance.
Weird. John and Lance Weird.
News of the weird.
News.
All right.
Del?
Lance and Del.
Yes?
Do you feel like you should never, no one should ever, ever, ever go to San Antonio again? A Houston man.
Why?
A Houston man, Michael Kohlhoff, visited his mother in the hospital. He caught typhus from a flea in a San Antonio hospital. He had both hands and parts of his feet amputated after nearly dying from septic shock, gangrene, and organ failure. Do you feel like San Antonio should, no one should ever go there again?
Okay, number one, what did he get?
He got typhus from a flea.
I'm going to need to know what typhus is.
Well, you get septic shock, gangrene, and organ failure. That's what you get from a flea.
This is scarier than COVID.
You think?
COVID, well, I'm talking about not now, but I'm talking about, I have COVID now, but I'm talking about, remember when COVID was first coming, it was going to wipe out the world?
Yeah, well.
This sounds worse.
Yeah, a flea. Like, if a flea lands on you.
We're talking about a flea.
Talk about a flea. All right, worst person.
Lance and his microphone.
You.
Worst person. The son of the year. Who impersonated his dead mother to a bank to steal $70,000 from his grieving father? Bad person there.
Well, you don't know how good the dad is. Maybe the dad's an a-hole.
We don't know, but he stole, you know, he impersonated his dead mother when the bank didn't know his mother was dead.
Well, to keep the money away from a person who might be even worse.
Or the Miami mom, 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Who used a fake hitman website in an attempt to kill her 3-year-old son.
You need a hitman to kill a 3-year-old?
I guess.
I think we've got a winner.
Oh, my goodness. There is a special place in hell for her. And for the son.
I mean, my God.
I feel like mom tops son here.
Mom definitely tops.
Because all he did was impersonate a dead person. He didn't actually kill his mother. At least we don't know that.
No.
Texas TikToker Sassy Trucker. Have you heard of her?
Nope.
Okay. Sassy Trucker has 182,000 followers. Apparently, she's trapped in Dubai, faces 2 years in prison after screaming at an employee of a rental car agency. If you're a woman in Dubai, you think you should be screaming at people at business, at people who run businesses?
If you name yourself Sassy,
from Houston.
If you name yourself Sassy, I know you're already a problem. Like, sometimes I blame people when their significant others do stuff because, okay, you should have seen this person coming. You know, if you name yourself Sassy, you are going to be a problem. Then probably just don't go to Dubai because you're going to try to live up to that name. Probably had your camera out at some point, and they don't play that over there. They don't care about your influence and stuff.
She's not the one that's on Barstool, is she?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. It can't be her.
Is that her? I don't know if it's her, but she's...
No. Oh, my gosh.
She is Sassy Trucker, and she is facing 2 years in prison because she yelled. I mean, you got to be dumb. You can't be that. You can't. Sassy Trucker, you're too dumb to have 182,000 followers. I'm sorry. Popeyes is coming out with a girl dinner. You guys want it?
What's in it?
Dishes ranging from mashed potatoes with Cajun gravy, homestyle mac and cheese, and Cajun fries. New girl dinner menu at Popeyes.com. Are you guys in on girl dinner?
What the hell?
What's the difference?
It's got to be a girl
Why
dinner.
Why is it named girl dinner?
I think
just dinner.
They may not be getting a lot of girls
just
going
so
to
they
Popeyes.
Can I think somebody does it for fun. I used to go to a Mexican restaurant called Larry's, and they had something on the menu called Lady Special. And it was like, it was a beef fajita taco and like a. Some kind of like a chili con queso puff and rice and beans and something else. I'm like, but you couldn't order it because it was lady special. Like, damn it. could I get this? Oh, you mean the lady special? No.
No, I don't want beans. That. I just want this. So
no beans. I just want everything a la carte.
So we're done.
More.
Del, are you doing Paul's show today?
No, Patrick.
Lazy.
You already knew the answer. You just wanted me to say
lazy.
No. Because I'm not doing two shows today?
Right. Okay. I thought maybe you'd have a better work ethic this time.
Okay. No, because I filled in all last week for multiple shows, including for your partner. And now I got to fill in for another show while doing this job, too. What? By the way, while you're walking out the door, I'm supposed to stay for an extra 2 hours? The hypocrisy.
Lazy.
The lack of self-awareness.
No one asked me to do it. If they'd asked me,
they didn't ask me to do it.
They didn't ask me to do it either.
You would never do it.
I would do it. If I, you know what? I'm a team guy. Okay.
Okay, John.
No,
we just heard Paul's not coming in tomorrow.
Patrick
we don't have anyone to
Creighton
fill in. You want to do it?
Right here. I can't hear you. La 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 la. Patrick Creighton next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I don't think you guys really care what I say, just like I don't really care what you say.